Hey, Jen. Welcome to Drinking with Jen. If it's your first time here and if you're coming back, welcome back. I'm your host, Ginny Preem, and I'm an inspirational and keynote speaker. In addition to being the host here of Drinking with Jen, I also have two books, my number one bestseller, You're My Favorite, and my newest book, I'm My Favorite, A Guided Journal for Your Path Forward. If you haven't yet, take a moment and leave a review here for Drinking with Jen over on Apple Podcasts and share it with a friend. Subscribe. Make sure that you are tuning in every week for each episode. I've got a real treat for you here today. We've got a special guest, and her name is Diana Winston. She is the director of mindfulness education at UCLA's Mindful Awareness Research Center. And I love this. You know you're going to get along with her because she also is a dog lover. It says here on her website that Diana enjoys a daily dog walking meditation with her rescue, Terry Poo Bamboo, which is just so lovely. Diana is also an author. She's the author of The Little Book of Being, Practices and Guidance for Uncovering Your Natural Awareness. Called by the Los Angeles Times one of the nation's best known teachers of mindfulness, she has taught mindfulness since 1999 in a variety of settings, hospitals, universities, corporations, nonprofits, and schools in the U.S. and Asia. She is a sought after speaker. She has a ton of courses that you can look at. She teaches a weekly meditation in LA on Thursdays, but you also can join in virtually from anywhere around the world, which again, the information is on her website, which I will link in the show notes so that you can find her. In addition to all of this, she's been mentioned in New York Times, O Magazine, Newsweek, Bloomberg, Women's Health. She is just a guru and wealth of knowledge and information around meditation. Oh, and she also facilitates and teaches at some silent retreats, which she's going to get some information for us on that as well, something I'm really interested in. So I wanted to introduce meditation because it has been such a game changer in my own life. And I thought, what better way than to introduce all of us to make meditation approachable? And Diana is exactly that. Her voice is like butter. She's going to guide us through a meditation here today in this episode. But before that, she's going to tell us a little bit about what meditation is, what it isn't, debunk some myths and misperceptions about meditation and mindfulness, and just give us a real treat here today of being able to explore meditation. So, Jem, with that, I will let you enjoy this episode. Diana Winston, thank you so much for being here today with us on Drinking with Jen.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's great to be here.
So we always start every episode of Drinking with Jen with, what are you drinking? Are you sipping on something today while we chat?
I have a cup of tea to the right of me, and I'm drinking, it's just like an English breakfast tea with some half and half.
Ooh, that sounds nice. That sounds lovely. Mm. I'm drinking some electrolyte water, grape flavor today. So Jem, whatever you're sipping on as you listen along to this episode, I hope that it's tasty. So if you've been here for a while, you know that I am very passionate about meditation. It's something that I was introduced to, gosh, a little over 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago, that really changed my life. And it was something that I used to be one of those people that would be like, yeah, go ahead, take your hippy dippy pillow and, you know, go do your meditation. I think I had so many misperceptions about what meditation is and what it isn't. What mindfulness is and what it isn't, but I could not imagine my life without it now. And I thought, what better way than to bring on a guru who is so well versed in this, does so much work around this, to talk to us about what meditation is, the benefits, and then guide us through a guided, you know, short, brief meditation so that we can really feel what it's like to experience it. So Diana, let's start with maybe some of the myths, like let's debunk some myths of like what people think meditation is and isn't, or maybe like what some of the misperceptions might be.
Okay, so I'm going to take one step back and then I'll answer the question. So meditation, it's a really big category with lots of different types of meditation under it. So you can think of like, it's like sports, right? There's hundreds and hundreds of types of sports. There's maybe not hundreds and hundreds, but many, many types of meditation. And then each meditation is different, right? And there's some meditations that cultivate concentration, and there's meditations that are more like moving based meditations. Prayer, you can think of as a form of meditation. And mindfulness, which is what I teach, is a meditation that's about awareness. So I'm going to respond predominantly, related to mindfulness meditation, but probably a lot of what I say will be applicable across meditations. So in terms of myths, one of the big myths that people have around mindfulness meditation in general is, if I sit down and meditate, my mind's going to go blank and I'm going to be in this state of deep peace. And that is completely not true. You know, I mean, it's not that it can't happen. It can happen. But for the majority of people, when they sit down, what they notice is that their mind is busy and active, just like it is when they're not meditating. And so then they think, I'm doing something wrong. I'm not meditating right. So this is like a big myth I always like to debunk a little bit, because everybody's meditation is likely going to have a lot of thoughts. And what we learn to do with mindfulness is, when our attention wanders off to these thoughts, to come back into the present moment. And that's something, it's a skill that we learn. It's not like out of the gate, you can do it. Yeah.
I feel like when people are being introduced to meditation or mindfulness, that's one of the biggest frustrations, is they think that it means shutting your brain off. And for people that maybe have anxiety or ADD or ADHD, that is such a far stretch to feel like you can achieve that. And like you said, then your mind might start spiraling out of control, going, oh my gosh, I'm doing this wrong. And then you start like overthinking even more so. And I love how you shared the different types of meditation, because I'm someone, like, even in my coaching model, I call it a guided model because it's not prescriptive, but it gives people options of what works for them. So when you're describing all the different types of meditation, try a bunch of different types. What works for one person, what works for you might work for me, it might not work for me. What works for me might not work. You know, so it's great to try a lot of different types. And I love that analogy of sports, right? Like, there's so many different kinds. And that really helped me wrap my head around it too, even within different types of exercise, right? Like yoga. I think yoga and mindfulness and meditation can be really similar, or can have some commonalities. And there's so many different types of yoga. There's yoga nidra, there's hot yoga if you really want to sweat, there's more gentle yoga if you really want to stretch, or it might be about achieving that mindfulness and just sitting in the four corners of your mat. So thank you for giving a little bit of context and, like, you know, debunking some of what mindfulness and meditation is and isn't. I have found for myself personally, since incorporating this, huge benefits overall in my life. Can you share with us, what are some of the short-term benefits and some of the long-term benefits that people can experience by beginning mindfulness and meditation?
There's a lot of different benefits, and the scientists have been looking at mindfulness for probably about 30 years or so, and seeing, and, you know, originally there were maybe just a few studies, and now there's 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 studies looking at the benefits. So a lot of it has to do with the impact on physical health and stress related conditions. So things like blood pressure, immune system boosting, helping with the healing response. Like, it's very helpful for just calming our bodies and minds, and whatever kind of, you know, physical benefit that we're going to get from not being so stressed out, which most of us are most of the time. A lot of benefit around working with difficult emotions. So there's pretty robust research looking at, like, how it impacts depression and anxiety, and then other mental health concerns. But you don't have to have a particular diagnosis. You could just be anxious, because we live in this world that is very anxiety provoking. So it's very helpful for that. So a lot of good sound research around mood, emotions, cultivation of positive emotions as well. So both working with difficult emotions, but also helping people's moods improve and create happier states of being. It helps with attention. So it's definitely, there's good research looking at how it builds attention. And then when you were talking about long-term and short-term benefits, there's really interesting research in the neuroscience field, like looking at the brains of advanced meditators. So these are people that have meditated for like 30, 40 years or something. And they look at their brains and they compare the brains to people of the same age range. And they find that in certain parts of the brain is thicker than people of the same age range. So I don't know if you know this, but as we age, our brains thin out. So if you want something else to worry about, it's called age-related cortical decline. But advanced meditators don't seem to have that in certain parts of the brain, particularly the prefrontal cortex, which is the part responsible for, you know, what we think of as our CEO of our brain, executive functioning, delayed gratification, working memory, flexible thinking. I know you know all this, but So, and even like advanced meditators have more cortical folds. Like there's been research studies looking at that. Like it really truly can change our brain over time and create ability to pay attention, ability to live more in the present moment, ability to have more gratitude, more joy, more connection. Like these are all the fruits of this practice when it's taken up in a way that, you know, where people are dedicated to it.
Mm. Oh, okay. You said so much good stuff. And I love that you brought in some of the science, like the brain stuff, because I'm such a science nerd. But for me, what I found, and it's interesting, I never really thought about it from like the emotional, like the low vibration, you know, emotions and the high vibration emotions. But for me, what I found over time after meditating consistently for years now, I'm like, okay, I'm glad I've got a head start on this, right? If I need to be meditating for 30 years to have the brain benefits, I'm like, I'm over 10% of the way there. But mm-hmm. when I think about how it's impacted my life, it's made me less reactive. I respond more and I react less. I've become more patient, which to me, that correlated to like peace, right? And peace is a high vibration emotion. If you're more patient and calm, you'll have and feel more peace in your life. And so I like, this was really fun for me to kind of hear that correlation as you were talking about it. You know, just more tolerant, more patient, less reactive and like in the moment, but then it does have that overall long-term benefit too, which is really, really fascinating for me. And I think sometimes too, meditation to make it even more approachable, would you say that sometimes even breathing exercises are a form of mindfulness and meditation?
Yeah, I mean, it depends how you do it and what you do, but certainly you can get the benefit. There's a lot of also good research looking at how just calming our breath can calm our nervous system, our body. It's a beautiful short meditation that someone can just do, you know, five breaths. I mean, even with little kids, you can't see, I mean, they're listening, they can't see this, but there's a little exercise that's so sweet where you just take your hand and you trace it outside of your thumb. And so you take an in-breath as you go up and an out-breath as you go down, and then an in-breath up and an out-breath down. And you do that till you get through all five of your fingers. And there's some like research behind that showing like just that little intervention can make a huge difference, just these five breaths.
That's beautiful and such a fun way to do it, like having that visual, right? So you get the visual learners and the physical touch as well, the kinesthetic. I always like to introduce people to box breathing, and then mm-hmm. I'll have them, even from stage, I'll walk people through a couple rounds of box breathing, and it's like, well, you kind of just did a little bit of mindfulness and meditation by doing that. And like you were talking about some of those other, you know, the benefits, like lowering cortisol, our stress hormone, blood pressure, heart rate. And the cool thing about the breathing exercises is that you can do them anytime, anywhere. I love to do meditation lying down and with my eyes closed. So Jem, if you're listening while you're driving, when Diana walks us through a meditation, you know, pull over or you know, maybe pause and actually, yeah, do the meditation another time, depending on how you cue it. But I really wanted to take this opportunity to introduce people to a meditation. And just before we go into that, is there anything else that you want to add or share to give some context before you guide us through meditation?
Yeah, a couple of things are coming to mind. And the first is when you're thinking about the benefits, I can, you know, list all these scientific benefits. And I love what you were saying about how it's affected you. And I just want to add another piece that some people think it's really boring, but it's actually incredibly interesting. And we can start to get to know our mind, and the level of self-awareness that comes is very profound. And so that's one of the things that I love about it. It's not just about like helping us with stress, but it's helping us do a deep dive into ourselves and learn more about ourselves. So that's just one piece I wanted to throw in. The other thing about it is, mindfulness meditation is cultivated through meditation practice, but it's also a quality of attention we can have at any moment. So you can be mindful when you're walking down the street, when you're drinking your tea, when you're even talking with a person. Like, we can bring in this quality of awareness and presence. And I just define mindfulness as paying attention to our present moment experiences with openness, curiosity, and a willingness to be with that experience. So it's really teaching us, how do we live in the present moment? And we learn it through the meditation practice, and then we apply it to our lives. And then we get these results, like you're talking about more patience, more tolerance, more less reactivity. So I'm going to guide us all in a meditation. I'm just going to do like a really simple getting started kind of meditation, where we notice our body, and we notice our breath a little bit, and we notice some sounds, and just helping us learn to be in the present moment. And then the really important thing, based on sort of the myth that we talked about earlier, is that if you find yourself, your mind is wandering, you're thinking about other things, you're thinking, what am I doing? I can't do this. You're not doing it wrong. This is part of the meditation. You recognize that's what your mind is doing, and then you come and you bring it back into the present moment. And so it takes time, but just to not be discouraged today and see what happens.
Okay. So, and before we go into it, you said so much good stuff there about how meditation mindfulness helps us connect with ourselves and get to know ourselves. And that's so much of what I'm passionate about, is helping people on their paths and journeys of self-discovery and self-love. Mm-hmm. You can't love yourself unless you know yourself. And that requires sitting with yourself. So I actually just a couple of months ago went on my first vacation ever by myself. And it was wonderful. Like, I think, and I started a couple of years ago, like taking myself out to lunch or breakfast or whatever, just to spend that time with yourself. But doing it on a vacation and taking in, being so mindful and experiencing everything with all of your senses, not worried about if the person you're walking next to is hungry or needs to use the bathroom. Like, I just think it gives you this whole different perspective of being with yourself, what, you know, learning and discovering what you like, who you are. I mean, I know that maybe takes it to a whole different level, but as you were saying that, I'm like, oh, this is, it all just flows together so nicely. And again, like, just with anything, it takes practice. Like, you're not going to go to yoga class the first time and know how to do all of the poses, right? You're not doing it wrong. You're learning, and giving ourselves a little bit of grace as we're maybe trying this for the first time. Or maybe you're a pro and you wanted to have a different perspective. You know, maybe you're someone that already practices meditation and mindfulness quite often, but, you know, Diana's going to bring her spin and her take on what she teaches through all of her wonderful teaching as a guru and just with her wealth of knowledge and experience. So I'll turn it back over to you and be quiet now.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to say, you went on a vacation where you really practiced mindfulness. One of the things that I teach are silent retreats, where people go and practice mindfulness all day long. And you're in silence with a group of like 50, 80 other people practicing it together. It's pretty amazing experience. But
do you have any of those coming up?
One in June and one in October. I can give you the links for that. Yeah.
Perfect. That'd be great. I'd love to share those. So if you're interested in experiencing a silent retreat, I know some people that do that and have talked about what a profound experience it is. So I want to make sure that I link that for anybody that's interested.
And maybe you can come too, Jenny.
I would love it.
Okay. We'll talk about it. All right, so let's do a meditation. As you mentioned, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. For the rest of us, just find a way that is to be seated comfortably. Now, you can really do it in whatever posture is going to work for you. A lot of people just sitting up on the couch or chair. Some people might be in a bed. If you are lying down because you need to, that's also fine. It's kind of, it can be helpful to be upright, but you figure out what works for your body. So you might, if you are sitting upright, having your feet on the ground so you feel the support, and your hands can be resting where they're comfortable, and your eyes can be closed, but if for some reason that's not comfortable to you, leave them open, but try looking downward so you're not too distracted. And let's begin by taking a few deeper, longer, slower breaths. And as we take these breaths, just inviting in the possibility of relaxation and ease, coming more fully into this present moment. We can gently scan our attention through our bodies, noticing our feet on the floor, there's touch, heaviness, pressure, wherever your feet are, just notice the contact you make. Maybe you notice your thighs against the chair, couch, bed. Feeling there's heaviness, pressure, warmth. Also notice your back. Can you feel your back up against a chair, cushion? And bringing your attention to your stomach area. Is your stomach tense or tight? You can take another deep breath, allowing it to soften. Let your hands be soft. Arms and shoulders soft. And then relaxing your face and facial muscles, also soft. Notice your whole body present here. And seeing what's happening for you. What do you experience? What do you feel? And see if you can let whatever is here be here. Now let's turn our attention to our breath in our bodies. Notice that your body is breathing. Where do you feel your breath in your body? Maybe you notice your abdomen rising and falling with each breath. Or your chest expanding and contracting with each breath. Or you might notice the air moving through your nose, tingling, warmth, coolness. And just for a moment, I want to invite you also to listen to the sounds around you. So let go of the breath for a moment and listen to the sounds. Sounds coming and going in the room or wherever you are. Just listening as if you're listening to your favorite music. And let's pick something to focus on. Could be your breath in your abdomen, your chest, or your nose. Or it could be the air, the sounds as they come and go. And just pick whichever one you feel like right now, whichever is the easiest or the clearest. If you can't decide, doesn't matter. They all work equally well. And we'll begin the process of noticing breath after breath or sound after sound. When breath ends, the next breath begins. As you do this, you may notice that your attention wanders, that you start thinking about all sorts of things. If this happens, you're not doing anything wrong. It's completely normal. When you notice your attention has wandered, you can say a soft word in your mind, like thinking or wandering, and then gently return your attention right back to the breath or the listening. And then we just keep doing that over and over. So I'm going to stop talking for like a minute and a half or something, and you try it on your own and see what happens. As we bring the meditation to a close, notice how you're feeling. Just kind of check into your body and mind. Notice if there's more ease, relaxation. There may or may not be. If there is, really enjoy it. Feel the rest. Feel the peace. If you're feeling something other than that, notice what it is and see if you can let whatever is here, be here. Let's take one more breath with awareness. And when you are finished, you can open your eyes or end the meditation.
That was such a treat. hopefully this will be helpful as you're listening if that was your first time meditating, but I want to share what I experienced during that so that people, you know, maybe will relate or have some commonalities. When you asked us to relax our face, like the muscles in our face, I didn't realize how tight all of the muscles were in my face. Like, that was a huge release. And I think this is helpful to like maybe take this opportunity to journal and write down a few of the things that you experienced, because that can help you also track your progress as you continue practicing meditation. And sometimes one of the things that I find helpful, like if you're a visual learner, sometimes as you're breathing, and I love your visual cues of like breathing into your abdomen, breathing through your nose, breathing into your chest, sometimes I'll visualize a color. And like for people that are visual, it's like, oh, whether it's like purple, red, blue, and that like gives your breath almost some additional context as you're, you know, visualizing and feeling it, you know, breathing it in and out. But Oh my gosh. Your voice is just incredible. Like, I'm so calm. I could go get in my car right now and someone could cut me off in traffic and it just wouldn't even faze me.
Oh, thank you.
I'm ready to peacefully face the rest of the day. Mm. Oh my gosh. And you have meditations on all different types of apps. And so I will make sure to link all of your information so people can find you, download some of your courses that you have. We'll get the information for the silent retreats. And anything else that, you know, you have available so that people can find you. We'll make sure that we get everything linked in all of the show notes.
Great. Wonderful. Yeah.
That was wonderful. Diana, thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to share this and have this as a tool to reference people back to, because that was such a beautiful introduction. It was just stunning. It was gorgeous. So thank you. Thank you very much for sharing your wisdom, your knowledge, your experience, your expertise as a meditation guru and guide and guiding us through that experience today.
Yeah, well, it's great to be with you, Jenny. Thanks for your good questions.
Thank you. Jem, I hope that you enjoyed that experience. If it was your first time meditating, or if you have embraced or experienced mindfulness and meditation before, I meditate often, and I just absolutely loved that experience with Diana. I'm so grateful that she brought on her, you know, that she came on the show today and shared with us her wisdom and her expertise around mindfulness and meditation. I just want to leave you with this quote from her website. And it says, through mindfulness practice, we can access our innate, fundamental well-being, which is profoundly needed for ourselves, our communities, and our world, especially in these times. And I really feel like that's exactly what she brought us today. Again, if you're interested in her silent retreats, her books, many of the apps, the UCLA app, everything is going to be linked through her website in the show notes so that you can go find, grab some of the resources, sign up for one of her meditations, one of her training courses, one of the silent retreats. She just has a ton of really great information on her website, a lot of really great experiences that you can bring into your own life. Share it with a friend. And just like this podcast, if you enjoyed today, share it with a friend. Don't forget to subscribe, tune in every week, and leave us a review for Drinking with Jen over on Apple Podcasts. And Jem, until next time, shine bright and let's get growing.